Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ वन्दे वासुदेवाय
transform all our material desires into the
desires. There are many observable desires. Probably these are the desires. When any observable desire tries to engross your sinful activity by thinking, many things can be dealt with, like musical abilities, excellent abilities, like Christian churches, or even molecular biological abilities, or mathematical talents. There are so many things that can be used in Christian churches. For a new devotee, that's advisable. If you do things you like to do for Christian structure, when you become advanced, you will simply be able to walk away from Krishna, even though it may involve you to leave yourself or not to leave and go into other continents. And living in a place where there are cockroaches that are 3 or 4 inches long. By that state, you're internally absorbed in relationship to Krishna. So the external won't happen. But initially, of course, your attached is working in a certain way and which uses him for Krishna service. And along the way, the rest of the commences, using your natural propensity to work, but occasionally stepping outside of your comfort zone and pushing yourself to do that which pleases the Prabhupada. And then coming back to the comfort zone, like it's too difficult. For example, book distribution. Maybe you do 1 week of intense book distribution in the summertime. And then that, you feel a lot of advancement in the situation, but it's too difficult, it's too uncomfortable for your psychic physiological nature. To come back to the temple and services that are more in keeping with that temple physiological nature. But then you'll find that your activities in those services, because they're within your comfort zone, become more attractive, more tasty, more inspirational, because of the sacrifice you made to try to advance. And the next time you do it, it becomes a little easier and a little more ecstatic and more attractive. So in this way, you rather advance. Prabhupada tells the story of Krishna having a headache. So he, one day Krishna has a very severe headache, and Narada came and asked, "What's wrong?" He said, "I don't have this terrible headache, and the only way I can cure it is by the dust and the feet of my devotees." So Narada set out and went to different groups of devotees to see who would be the dust and the feet. This is like the Bhagavad Gita, a succession of different levels of devotees. So he went through some high Brahmins, fully qualified Brahmins, who were worshipping Lord Vishnu, chanting mantras, everything was very proper, according to all rules and regulations. And now he said, "Lord Vishnu has made it." And they were concerned, and they said, "What can we do?" And they said, "The only thing is dust in our feet." They said, "We will go to hell. If we give you dust in our feet, we'll find yourself. That's great evidence. Take the dust in our feet off of your face." It's a very, very good idea. When you're in a room, you can kick the chest of what this man was. From then on, that's why he was the first problem to do. Do that defense. Lord Vishnu himself is not always pleased, actually. That's another one of the past. That was an unusual case of empirical research, which is not the general daily paradigm. The daily paradigm is receiving information from persons who have superior knowledge. It's a great shortcut to acquiring knowledge. That's why it's taken 400 years to get from Newton to Schrodinger. Quantum mechanics, because the empirical process is very slow and extremely difficult and fraught with many difficulties. No one can tell. When you're doing experiments, you get a certain experimental result in the laboratory. You don't know what you're doing. There are 5 or 6 different explanations for that, or maybe even more than that. So you have to sort out your further experiments and narrow down what's actually going on. If you're doing a physics laboratory, you get a certain result. Some of the results you see a blip on a solution, a particle that makes accelerator system is down to the left instead of to the right. So you have to figure out what is happening. You have very sophisticated computer programs, and so many things are always moving in your senses and mind. So it's extremely difficult to make progress by the empirical connection. Therefore, that's generally not used in the data system. However, She went on to talk, but there was one last time where there was a conference of great sages, and they didn't know who the 21st of God was. That's a really fascinating. We didn't even bother with it. In the cult of God. Now, Zalman additionally is the supreme controller of the Jalanda, the Purusha, the Supra Jalanda, the controller of the Jalanda, the Mahavishnu, the Paragatya, the Shira, the Sahaja. Everybody bought from the Jalanda. And beyond that, we see there is simply extension and extension and extension of Krishna, the whole sequence of extension. That's up to the Rudhama, two Chakra Rudhamas, and the Lion, and so on. Even if you bought from the Jalanda. But somehow these great things, even bring the wounding, this is an amazing pastime. We have to see the Leela elements. When you can bring the wounding, you have to know. So he was selected for a very dangerous assignment called standing. Lord Shiva, Lord Mama Vishnu, see who is least perturbed by the attention. That was a couple of great personalities which measured by his not being perturbed by attention, put into difficult situations or unpleasant situations, tolerance of difficulty, which is a measure of who is the supreme personality of God. That's the thing we know. So, bringing him to be set out, he's the son of the mom, such a highly qualified person, the son of the Lord of God. And the greatest need is the almost entire of God. So, he went to the Lord of God. And when you see your father, it's just not to cross all the places. It's offensive not to. So he walked up and he did nothing to show respect to Lord God. He just had to cry out to Lord and you know, have a little wrong from anger. Visibly, nose of anger, but because of his great power to control his mind, sense, he didn't say anything. He was obviously angry. So really, when we know that, then that's Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is his brother, but Lord Shiva is also the son of the law. At least that's the arrangement. And here, Lord Shiva is actually superior to the law, all other personalities except the picture. He's not a demigod of ordinance, but he's leading Jiva in a physical body. So you can become demigod, you can become Jiva, or the national chandra, or Surya. You cannot become Lord Shiva. He's far superior, almost on the level of Vishnu. So Vishnu, so Lord Jiva, when he saw Vishnu, he rose to embrace him. As it's natural, brothers and both great devotees, great sages, great personalities. The Lord Jiva rose to embrace him. And Vishnu Muni said, don't touch him, you're always being pure. You associate with ghosts, hobgoblins, bhutas, creatures, sakshas, all this long list of all kinds of ghosts. He can be the Lord Shiva out of his compassion. It's not the Lord Shiva for one reason, but to be a great mistake that he comes to. He takes charge of elevating the person from the Lord Shiva, so it's so low that no one else can do it. Personalities for whom a bath is optional. Breathing wants to get away from the music of God. This is paradigm. So these persons are heavily involved. But Lord Shiva, he dressed in such a way as to make him think he's one of them, so they can just go everywhere, so to speak. He taught people, because there's no rules, you can do whatever you feel like, so it's a process. Of course, in Shiva, in fact, he needs to take it to these smoking dungeons, so he can also smoke. And so really, it's a great, if there's a cause of Lord Shiva, he pretends to be just like them, and hangs out and gradually drives. So, because they can't follow the rules of the worship. So the worship of Vishnu requires all kinds of rules, regulations. So this is his greatness. And Vrindu, he knew all the emotions of the Lord Shiva, but still this became a test. So Lord Shiva became angry, at least in this pastime. He's fully in control of the mind and senses. And he's already resolving the need, he said to the desk of Vaishnava. Vaishnava and Vaishnava Shambhuri. Shambhuri and Shambhara are different names, and Rudra are different names for Shiva. So he, Lord Shiva became angry and part of the triumphs, it says in the Bhagavatam, to kill Vrindavan. And part of the intervening, We should see the cast in the element of virtue of the very control as a word or a part of the model to give him into the virtuous consequence. So, we notice all these things. Virtue is taking care of the ability of all these things. And if you measure by himself, it's so powerful. So you have all the way to by himself. And our vision is refining them. They are blocked by but I think that when he decided to perform the superlative events, his figures of events were mental or verbal, not the excited to perform corporeal events by kicking or pushing in the chest. Which he did, he went right up to religion and kicked him in the chest. And in addition, he needed God and said, I'm very sorry I didn't want to see you properly, but it's my offense. You're right to touch my hand. Actually, my justice is even harder than the foot of the soft or little child. Then the soft or foot of the probably the foot of the not hurt by being that hard task. You're just often prayer for the legal structure to make a long time. And then back to the legal statements, and it's unusual. Empirical research program describes the statements that what issues the quality of tolerance is so super excellent. That he was not even slightly sort of like kicking in the chest. So this is a fascinating story that shows the greatness of Lord Krishna. Now he can do there are many other circumstances like this in the Shastra, but the Supreme Lord does not take offense. In fact, he goes out of his way to bring service to others. In the Naja Sutra, Yajna put on by Lord Buddhist here, in the Mahabharata, and also in the Mahabharata in the sky, but different personalities were in charge of different aspects of the Yajna, like Bhima Singh was in charge of the kitchen, because he learned the Vritto Dhara, which means wolf dhara. Vritto Dhara means Dhara, Dhamma means wolves, or control. And Udara means that it's done. So Dhammapada said that the beautiful child of the competition is bound to the roots, not the issue of his life. So Vrigadara means wolf. So Vrigadara, that's the name of Bhima, because he couldn't. He liked his huge amounts. Of course, if you perform Herculean tasks, you could not do this. So he was put in charge of the kitchen department. The yoga was also put in charge of the department. Everybody was. That's some department. And our Jewish people just did together. So Krishna, he volunteered to watch the people all the rest of the together. That was the position that Krishna took. Although he's the Supreme Personality of God, he's not attached to being in that position when he advertises the people just wants to serve the life. Yet he was so close to the Nakarshans, who came into the temples as a Shishupal, who blasphemed him severely. Shishupal was born, as soon as he was born, he became a blasphemer, right from birth. He was the archetypal enemy, or actually he was God, or Vita, to be able to provide him to volunteer to become humans, just to please the Lord. This is another wonderful example of devotees doing anything to please Krishna. They have to take on the role of the demons of insulting Krishna or Vishnu severely. And they didn't please Krishna because they knew that Krishna likes to fight. And they surveyed all the demons in the throne and decided they're all winners. No one could give Lord Vishnu a good fight. So they decided, you, Lord Vishnu, a good fight. One day they came. Dying Greek by saying to Lord Narayana, in Vaikuntha. They had a chief Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha, dying Greek. So they came to Lord Narayana. And they said, oh Lord, we know that you have a desire that is not fulfilled. And because we are your devotees, it is our duty and it is to feed us. Most, in the recesses of our heart, the greatest desire we have a success by your desire. So we cannot tolerate we have a desire that's not from that's the real good that's intolerable. Krishna wants to do something. But if Krishna somehow, of course, by your desire, but if somehow Krishna is not able to carry out his desires, but the devotee immediately is not now, help Krishna to satisfy his desire. So they came to one of the lions and said, we know we want to fight. We know we want to fight. And there's no one who is ready to make sure the Lord is going to do the fight. So we volunteer to become the best human beings. We will be demons that the universe has never seen before. And they were actually Ravana and Kumbhakarna. First word is Dhirani Nasaki and Dhiranaksha. And then we just completely wonderful to them. The next word was Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And then finally, Dant Bhakta and Shishupal in Krishna's leader. And they performed activities that were no one could have done before. And Dhirani Nasaki is still in his truly for thousands of years. It is right at the beginning of the seventh canto. The seventh canto opens up with Hirani Karsapu desiring to achieve immortality. So he went up to Mount Mandara and he stood on his tables for thousands of years. And an ant showed up around him, and the ant actually chewed away his flesh. He didn't move all the ants that chewed away his flesh. It was starting. Srila Goswami says that even great saviors, rishis, who are lower humans, could not be such severe as apostles. This level of apostles was so severe, as he was standing up, he might stand there truly. Maybe we could do it for half an hour, or maybe an hour. He did it for thousands of years. And he held his heart up. And his flesh was eaten away, he maintained his father was born to describe in some kind. Back to the living man, he did not physical dust in the prior any physical structure. The living man didn't animate any physical structure at all. That's why at MIT, in the world of artificial intelligence, the scientists are always speculating how a computer could be conscious. In the Vedic epistemology, the presence of actions of the atma determines whether something is conscious or not. But for them, it's just a matter of organization, organizational complexity. So they argue that some scientists even have the term panpsychism, where everything is conscious. Every atom, every electron, every cell is on product of a certain degree of consciousness. And that's technically called panpsychism. The difficulty with panpsychism is that we attribute consciousness to each electron, for example, in the brain, and each electron would be aware of its electronic interactions with others and not the overall perception, particularly the hormone of that body. For example, you're seeing me sitting here now, but if you're just a collection of individual conscious units, then why wouldn't we just be the individual consciousness of all those electrons interacting in the atomic body of the orbits and body? Is what they should be conscious. How do you get an overall consciousness? So there are many difficulties in this empirical work, as I mentioned, as thoughtful difficulties. So there are kinds of food he knew about stories that were unhatched, even by simple difficulties. And his goal was to become normal. So when, after all he was doing it, his austerity after 3,000 years, flaming the light coming out of his head. It still makes sense. Tapasya, tapasya means being also. Tapasya literally means that which gives rise to feet. Or also we have the term tapakanchana, molten gold. Tapa means feeding. So his tapasya was so severe that it was actually flaming coming out of his head and all the universe was heating up. The demigods ran into the revolution and said, there's something terrible going on. I'm sorry, go to Baba. They said, there's something terrible going on here. And Brahma said, okay, I'll go and satisfy his desires. Brahma was just waiting around until we found out how scary. That's what the program is. He was listening to Brahma. He did not know. For him, Vishnu was his arch enemy. So he can worship his, he worship your Father. So the Lucky God was under water bottle, and he sprinkled some water splashing in him. There are, in the heavenly planets, there are the same earth, water, fire, air elements that are more subtle and have different properties. In fact, the world allows entire bodies to have the element of consciousness. Sorry, intelligence. His entire body is made of the element of intelligence. So he spent the water on his conduit and reformulated his entire American Catholic's whole body. That's something that's beyond the power of any molecular biologist today. To reformulate, reform that entire body. Because the body is supremely complicated, we study what exists in the body of all the components. They're going to make a physical body. To reformulate something like drinking water out is way beyond the specific knowledge we need of current life and God. We see this again and again, actually, in the Mahabharata. When Gandhari was lamenting that Kunti had given birth first, they were not disapproved by sons first because they wanted their sons to be to inherit the throne of the corpus. So Gandhari, she became very angry, she was very unhappy when Kunti gave birth first to buy a confidence. So she was pregnant and she hit her stomach and a lump of flesh fell out of the ground. Shapeless lump of flesh. And then Vyasadeva was called. He was meditating in the glade and he had come to help out. He was part of this one, the difficulty on a number of people. So he came there, and because his mother, Vyasadeva was so much, he wanted to reciprocate with his mother, to repay her. So his mother accepted his teaching. But Gina, Vyasadeva told her, whenever you want me, it's called, it's meant to sleep with me. And I'll come in instantly, even though he was a thousand miles away, meditating in the lands. So she just kept thinking, and this is the power of this great big personality. She just had to think of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva believed in him. He has all this power. So here on the scene, and Gandhari was angry. She said, we can give you advice from what you want first. She said, what's going on? I will. He actually divided them into 100, divided this shapeless lump of flesh into 100 elements. Essentially, cloning was the first kind of cloning operation. And put them in various nutrient arrangements, and they actually grew up to the level of science. I think the last million of the world were all produced by this, by a process which far exceeds the knowledge of biology. After his thoughts of the interesting thing though is that the details are not taken out of his mind. You won't find the description of his RNA polymerases and DNA polymerases are used. Which proteins are activated? That is not in the body talk. There may be other things to deal with. In astronomy, there are detailed descriptions. There are big astronomical things such as Sirius and Sagitta. And Siddhanta Shiromi and Jyoti Shivayama, the scientific Jyoti Shivayama is the fortress. So the scientific Jyoti is the astronomical, or sometimes it's the astrological because it's intimately connected with ruling demigods. In modern, in Western astronomy, the word astrology is strongly frowned upon. It's considered nonsense, but in the later times, astrology and astronomy were intimately linked together. And we use the time when Leviathan should be performed. Again, it's a theistic paradigm. Why were we people so interested in astronomy and astrology? Because they were performed Leviathan's constantly, and they wanted to know when Leviathan should be performed. Because if you're not doing the Leviathan's a month's work, you have to follow all kinds of rules, strict rules of formulas. Leviathan's a month's work independent of rules and regulations. There's no hard and fast rules. Of course, we follow four regular principles because that is three sufficient points. But I meant there's no time rules. Where the time specifically says no time is required at any time, other times convenient. Thus, the superiority of bhakti over karma-mandala, or other, the further you are away from pleasing Krishna, the more rules and regulations you have to follow. The closer you are to pleasing Krishna, the less rules and regulations you have to follow. In fact, the great Vrindavan Das Thakur says in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when a pure yogi begins doing his offering, the Lord immediately snatches the gold and words. He doesn't have to wait for all the mantras and tantras and gurus. We have to, if you worship here on the altar, there are many rules and regulations, there are many mantras and many particulars that have to be carried out because we're not so advanced that we can presume to be reasoning with Krishna. In the Neophyte stage, the rules and regulations are meant to elevate you to the stage of love. The problem is that the smart Brahmins immediately forget about the rules because they tell them all the rules. They're not interested in running about to follow the rules. They're very proud of knowing how to do all the tantric and rules. But they put out with a ton of all that and said, oh, well, that's the question. And the reason you're also going into this paradigm, which is mistaken. You should understand that we're following the rules and regulations with the goal of purifying our hearts. The goal of bodily is purification. The soul already has purification. Lord Chaitanya says in Sanatana Swami, Nitya Siddha, Krishna Chaitanya, Satya Kavanaya, Shavanam Shri Chitta Kaurya Vidaya. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya, Nitya Siddha, Shri Chaitanya. In this verse, it's around the 20th chapter of Bhagavad-gita, when Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Sanatana Swami. So pure Lord Krishna is eternally Nitya Siddha. The perfectional and pure ecstatic contemplation is already in your heart. It's already there. It just has to be awakened by hearing the chant, Shravanati Shri Siddha. Siddha means not the Shri, it means pure. Shravanati, Shravanati, the ring plus body. Hey, you've got all the other words, right? It says Shravanati means the Shravanati plus the other words, like devotion service. The Navananda is the nine men of devotion service described by the Bhagavad Gita in the seventh chapter. So by hearing and chanting, pure love of Krishna is awakening. So this is another important distinction between modern Western epistemology and Vedic epistemology. The West learning means paradigmic facts. In Vedic epistemology, learning means clearing away misconceptions. See how it's done? It's actually diametrically opposed. In Vedic epistemology, pure knowledge is already in heart. You're already perfect. You just covered yourself over with so much non-devotional sense gratification for many lifetimes. You're out of touch with the pure knowledge of the soul. It's inherent in there already. That's it. Lord Chaitanya is a very important verse, actually, we're talking about a lot. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema knowledge. A lot of them are learning to know what it is. This is the Krishna Prema, the thing that we're struggling and praying and begging for year after year after year after year after year after year. The tree is already in our hearts. It's already there, but it's locked. Our heart is locked. Steel flame, it says in the second hand of God. Our heart is steel flame because we engage in so many non-emotional activities. But the steel casing is broken apart by the loud chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So, this is the Krishna Prema Sadhya Kavanaya, it's not to be obtained anywhere else. Sadhya Kavanaya, you don't have to take it from any other source to love everything. In the word for word, of love sounds like true. Sadhya Kavanaya. Shava, then the next part is Shava Nami Shivichita. So by hearing and chanting, when it comes time to hear about Krishna, we should be all ears, our ears should expand and dominate our sense of perception. It should be absorbed by hearing, because this hearing is what actually purifies the heart. Also, the first man of chapter 6, 17, King of the Sakhati, Shahunya Shaman, Dick, Shin, hearing the glories of the Lord. And if you have no taste for that, sign up to do the verse before that, 1:16 says, by serving pure devotees, you get a deep taste for hearing and chanting. That's your entry, that's the magical entry into the realm of bhakti. Service to pure devotees. is the magical key to entering into the house of God. So that's our power of the eternal inheritance. So many services that we do, like if you're watching the movie clips, that's your emotional service, that's your Krishna. The deity is not just from Krishna, it's like seeing Krishna in the mouth. You deity worship properly is like you can go up to the God. Actually, if you do your deity worship with the right in the mouth, it's like you can go up to the God. There's a song by Bhakti Thakur, he says, when I hear my brother, my rhythm will disappear to go over the God of peace. Because he has simply only the desire to please Krishna. We worship him in our humanity, and your Lord, Krishna's not there, he's no one's happy. Krishna doesn't need your mechanical service, he has trillions of capabilities to do anything to give up your life. To please him instantly. As we were talking about the story, how we went to the different groups of devotees, he went to different sets of devotees, going to higher and higher levels. And the more instant they were, the more they expressed their anxiety that Krishna had pain. But they were not able to do that. That's too much. Okay, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to help everybody. So that's the Krishna said. But finally, when we came to the gopis of Bharat's palm, this is the point of the story. We came to the gopis. Narayana said, I'm not so bad at doing this, Krishna was a very serious guy. All of a sudden, they were like, our hearts began palpitating. We couldn't breathe because they were thinking, Krishna, hey, this is an inconceivable disaster. What can we do? And Narayana said, the only fear I was like, it was the dust that needed it to be dust. Fear is to take the dust to the And our don't you know there's a great parents? Don't you understand? The science of devotional service and bhakti is that we are well aware that there's a great parents, and we are prepared to go to hell for as long as it takes. To go to hell forever, if even one second it can be freed from hell, that's worth eternity of suffering for us. To be one second of Krishna's suffering, we're prepared to suffer. And it's actually the truth. It is not simply a false, like if you're trying to be false to something, putting on a false story, but it's deeply committed to suffering. And if this is the nature also possible of God, first we close it to 50-10 mantras are in that statue. Many of them are actually gopis. They're gopis and gopas from my job, and it's also from the hospital. So this really is the key Krishna. And obviously we're not there with the practice. The only talk about is practice. We have to practice getting in the mood of thinking about austerity and Krishna. Thinking about austerity, never say this, there are austerities. There are austerities in beauty, which also I ask you to speak to your conscience. And to do it day in, day out is austerity. These austerities are to purify us from material existence. And those decisions, of course, are not everything after these austerities are created. But as you advance, the austerities become another source of light to be because if you falsely dissolve, that's how you know that the falsehood is becoming dissolved and you're interested in what is fiction. You don't care so much about what you like or what you like. That takes training. This is very exalted. It's not a cheap thing. We can always understand the purpose. That we're training ourselves, we're trying to purify ourselves to go back to God. If we recently were transported to go over to God, we would stick out like a sore thumb. We wouldn't fit. We wouldn't fit there. And everyone there, I think, is going to be sufficient. This is what I want to do. So if you actually want to go back to God, you have to cultivate. That's what Sadhana Bhakti is all about. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is explaining in that verse. Which is the Krishna Pendra. That it's actually already there, but if you have another little sadhana, you can keep it. You have another little sadhana. Sadhana is a body process. You allow you to attend including the other verses. Because we can't hear purely this state. We need the other process. But when we see the state of hearing purely this, hear your purity is perfection. That is a complete perfection. If you can hear your mouth, if you can feel one thing, you're all in mind to give it to one's wives. The beginning of every mantra of your 16 vows is one time, one vow to do. 16 perfect vows. Nobody recognizes the vow. It's always in the reverse of enthusiasm to God. That's fine. And say that you use your soul for a few other times and put it aside. That's the reason you get hard when you sometimes so purified by hearing your vows. This is the primary purification of Kali Yuga. And that also is required to change. Everything is required to change. It's not easy. It's constant. Just your intention is holding in. That is where it came. Everything that came is a wonderful process of God's goodness. It's a process that actually has the potency to transform lectures and novels into holy things. Their prayers are just in judgment, and their words are all the prayers that Jesus came out with, saying, you have the potency to change dog eaters into holy things. It's in Madhavas chapter 16, actually. It's the a governmental servant of a large top ruler who is a king of Orisha. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to work with God. And he was going to make provinces. And those things, it was very wild. It's like the Wild West. You go to different provinces, and then there would be some king who would just rob you or bring you behind that place. Easy. You know, as soon as you enter the kingdom, the people would attack you and strip you for the wealth. And if you're lucky, you get rid of your life. But there are many, many descriptions like this. In the year round leader, that's a similar story. The Sunni Vasa Sarva. The first chapter of this teaching part. But it's a team of leader here, and you actually need to have an astrologer who has the capacity to evaluate. By this power of astrology, you can evaluate the monetary value of anything that makes you. And Srinivas Acharya, Narayana Das Thakur, and Shyamananda were the three empowered. These are all three devotees, gradually, as a sixth three devotees. They were empowered by those swamis to preach in Bengal. It was 50 years after the Lord Chaitanya left the planet. This is a guy in a book called Bhakti Ratnakara. And he describes how the mission of Lord Chaitanya was concluded on behalf of Lord Chaitanya. So they came, these saintly Vaishnavas, they came to this kingdom called Vishnupur. And the king was named Virahamvira, which means I am a hero. Virahamvira, I am a great hero. So again, it's nice if you know sense of it, because you get the insight of the person. Now, this king must be very corrupt. So he maintains jackals, thieves, who hired the government. His government consisted of thieves and rogues who robbed anyone who came to him. So this dog arranged him a great sacrifice and said, the highest value of the Alamanship is a treasure of inestimable value has reached your. It was actually the books of those songs. These were pure archivists, I don't believe. So the king was in ecstasy. He jumped up with great inspiration, said, tonight, you should plunder all the treasure. Plunder all the treasure that they had brought. They had carts, but they had more carts. Loaded up the books of those songs. Some of which were more copies, because everything was covered by hand in those days. When they left, when the three saintly Vaishnavas, Narayana Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamananda departed from Vrindavan, it was a huge ceremony. It was the first time the works of those songs were leading to Vrindavan. Because after Lord Chaitanya left, the focus shifted to Vrindavan. That's where Jiva Goswami was there. Rupa Sanatana had already left. And Jiva Goswami was the greatest literary Vaishnava, the whole Sampradaya of various Acharyas, he was studying under Rupa and Sanatana. And there had never been broken more than that, he was a big student of Swami. He wrote so many things about himself, and others. So As they're leaving the dock, they stress out with some of the very old people after the way they leave the body. We just said something 1600. He blessed the people sent to bless us in their mission. And Peter was only blessed all the great upwards and monks and those swamis who are devoted to him. And when they're God blessed, they're all the blessings of those swamis and all the Vaishnavas. Pure devotees were there, and they explored them all. The big procession, the whole of our family books, the ghost song. The first time in the position, absolutely. It's described in our gospel. First time. Because there were no books in the blue. And it's not that some were reading the service, but they were looking at the right books. They were the books. Of course, everyone in India had a lot of ideas that were standing and complexity. Probably even just a monarchy that existed for thousands of years. But they were standing and collecting India. This was essentially a revival of Vaishnavas. So for three saintly Vaishnavas, they came, they wrote a book about, they left the Dhamma, they wrote a book to Bengal, so they were going to preach for wisdom in Bengal and not in Bengal. It's a good distance, it's a long distance effort, and from Vrindavan all the way to Bengal is almost 1,000 miles. So the three saintly Vaishnavas, they came in and they took rest that night. They had a four part of the book, books on it, a big chest, and they had books. And they took rest that night, and when they woke up, the chest was gone with all the books. And they thought, we've been entrusted by all the greatest devotees. This is our life and so our mission is to distribute this knowledge. And there isn't any knowledge to give up our lives. To put them in our and to use it. Not discussing how sinful we are. Of course, our good devotees are really dedicated to themselves. To be a so they decided to work for it. There's no point in giving up our lives immediately or the ones first. She was the choice that I take about not leaving this place until I recover those. And our time, I'm trying to sit off the feet. They were so cold, they gave millions of devotees of other people. They didn't even need those. Now I'm God's offer. He was disposing, he was leaving the direct claim of Jesus Mahaprabhu, who was depositing a river called Patna River. Narayana Das is so involved in many of our songs that we sing every day. Blue Guru songs that were written by Narayana Das. Everyone should know a lot about it. He's a very important contact. He was so potent, he was alone. Without any voice, he could make many Vaishnavas. And he did, he began his mission work. He was the direct recipient of the prema, the ecstatic love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before we were to turn it up, the planet, he was with his associates in Bengal. One day he began crying out, Narasana, Narasana. Before Chaitanya was crying out, in the name of Narasana, ecstasy. And no one ever told him they would be guilty of it. And his Dhamma was in a great time. They were not completely mean to him. They were trying to find us. And actually, if you know some Sanskrit, and of course, none of them was meant to lose money in Paris. Narottama, there's an old one that came to you. Narottama. So Narottama is actually the best of that. The highest of the points. Yeah. Narottama. So that could apply to anyone. Every one of the words could easily be addressed as Narottama. But specifically, it was a special person now that any was coming in the future. And they didn't know what the Lord was telling them. The Lord was telling them about the coming from Narottama. And then Lord asked, who do you mean? And he said, they will come after we have all left the planet. They will come to read personality to carry on the mission. The mission of this evening, blah, 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 to the fallen souls of Kali-Yuga. She, Vrindavan Das Thakur, says in Chaitanya Bhagavata, quotes Chaitanya Bhagavata saying, I have vowed to name every fallen wretch food, fruit, and nectar that is said about him. I have vowed to name every fallen wretch food, fruit and pollution of ecstatic love. And probably everyone is involved in that person, very foolish. Because we all seek to gather our senses, that's the paradigm of the journey. And Lord Chaitanya wants to rescue us, we vow to rescue all the fallen souls in the lowest of the low. Nityananda rescued the lowest of the low. There was no discrimination, it's a beautiful thing. Lord Chaitanya didn't calculate. Because it's not about who's qualified, who's We deserve to receive the ecstatic love of God. That is not the rule of teaching from God. When you do city books, you should also have this faith. You will find that the Lord is coming much more pleasing to you approach everyone. Of course, if you're forced to choose, there are a number of people approaching you on the street walking by you, 10 people. Naturally, you go for the other fifth person in the own temple or in the own temple. It doesn't mean you shouldn't discriminate. There are ways. Every book is going to become very alert to the sign of who's going to take the book and who's not going to take the book. Just by statistics. And that's good because we want to be efficient. But if there's only one person approaching you and they have to be an old lady, it should be out of the book of Jesus. Because if there's only one person approaching you, you don't have to discriminate because you just have to put that one person per time. You can do it. You can talk to them. And if you say this verse produces the ability of our heart to unhappiness, kind of more, but what does not mean to our heart, this is the ability of discriminating. This is the point of Proverbs chapter 7, the Lord is describing how we make no distinction wherever we go with the city of love of God, everywhere. Also, in the Tenth Bible, as one so-called sannyasi, he's described as a tantric sannyasi, followed on the left path. He had a wife, and the wife was lusty. She was looking to get down to the lust. She went to enjoy it or not. And he says the sannyasi has many drinking wine also. But he said to his, you see, things were already great by that, but how many were already, it was the full scene. By that time, people were calling themselves sannyasis, but they were completely materialistic. And the sannyasi blessed those who come to me, he was attacked by the being that was not going to grow up. So he blessed them. They even enjoyed the material world to feel a satisfaction. We have a beautiful being to enjoy it, and much love. And Lord Jesus said, what kind of sannyasi are you? This is no one of the sannyasi that gives us instructions. The goal of life is to worship Krishna. And Sannyasi says, I've been all over the world. I've preached in Varanasi and Bhutan and so many places. And twice your age, you're instructing me. Because Lord Krishna is very young, you're not going to be instructed to not be taking Sannyasi. So the Sannyasi says, you're instructing me. I'm a great, hundred great, good man. You're a young person, barely finishing something in your life first. If you know in your life first. I can understand that how leaders can be forced by youngsters and instruction by others. So yet the honor of asking my daughter to be a great response. Don't give us a few mangoes, don't forget anything. Because they came to his house. Just give me a few mangoes, walk, approach me, and go down the road. And it's not that no one actually lives. It's just how the world he lays in, two or all the worlds that need to be wine. So what we're going to say, he ran out of the house, dumped in the dumpster with all his clothes on. And then the other man, and brought him, they swam down to him, and they wanted to get out of the gates of heaven. But when God has done it, says that even though he was fallen, because he was not a defender of righteousness, he was able to listen to the Lord. When God has done it, says that an assembly of sannyasis with blasphemous righteousness, more irreligious than an assembly of conquerors. For the drunkards, there is still a possibility of becoming Vaishnavas and that other people. For those who think Vaishnavas, the prospects are very dim. So all these wonderful pastimes that we start pitching us out of the sun, we're pitching them from the Alamas, so it's good to be good. We can please make the Vaishnavas, not on God's top of it. And think about something like some other, they're mortified, they're mortified. But they have said it's our duty to try to recover the word. So she crosses was given the pass. He took a vow not to leave that country for Bhagavad Gita, Krishna Bhagavad Gita. So he went to the king's court, this king here and here. And the king, although he was very sick for it, employed backwards to allow one friend to kill him, said, why do you call the representation of Bhagavad Gita? And he had a court recital, but the court recital was ignorant of the conclusions of early life struggles to be speculated after that in his recital. And Jivas had just changed our Jivas for years before they were sent out to take his life struggles, trained by Jivas on their literary teams. So they knew Srimad Bhagavatam left and right, and of course Jivas is also a third of the total. Few are made to see the Vaishnava. So he was sat there humbly tolerating. He was looking to be connected to the king's court, and his Bhagavatam disciple was messing up. So he didn't say anything during the recital. Afterwards, he just said, actually, this conclusion is not correct. It's speculation. And everyone was like, well, who are you? Because he was just like a humble mendicant. And the king was very, king's official bond was very, very, well-dressed and opulent. And the king was very opulent with the whole, retinue and everyone said, who is this person from nobody? And then with all the Srinivas began to study such brilliance and energy, everyone was their jaw dropped. Everyone was saying, who is this? He's a genius, a great Vaishnava. He has so much spiritual erudition. And the official court recited that Prabhu was envious, being angry and challenged Srinivas to debate. So the next day they had a long day, 20 hours, and Srinivas was so powerful, not only did he have knowledge, but he had a pure devotion sort of back to him. And he spoke everyone's heart with the devil. So even that court recited Nelson became everyone became his son, because they all slandered him. And then they said, please stay here. We want to worship you and you become the official pundits, the official deeper, the Brahman of the kingdom. And Srinivas said, I have a terrible urgent mission. Someone has stolen the books of the kingdoms. He goes, oh my God, I have stolen the books of the pure guru. Because he's part of the kingdom. He was a glorious hunter because he worked with Brahman. He was sent to me at that point. And after hearing Srinivas, description of Srimad Bhagavatam became purified, and now he was actively being in the devotees. And now he realized that the colossal offense of stealing from his pure heart source, he just went with open hands and he said, I am the most holy ones. But I'll give you all that, and Srimad was so much in ecstasy, he recovered them so easily, he was ready to come to all kinds of tasks. So he recovered it, so he just embraced the king, and he was next to his time. The king said, please come to be his servant forever, initiate you, please, and initiate the king. And then the king issued a stern proclamation. Everyone in the kingdom must attend Mahalakshmi. Everyone must attend Mahalakshmi. He turned the whole place, the whole kingdom, into Vaishnava. The books were recovered. So this is the power of Srinivas Acharya and Rama. And many others. They're all utterly, they're so empowered. They're so empowered by Srimati Mahaprabhu. So we can also become empowered if we want to take on austerities in our spiritual lives. This is how we become empowered. It's not random. It's a random, stochastic or statistical. Someone just happens to become randomly empowered. You are empowered according to your willingness to surrender, to satisfy the spiritual master. The spiritual master has tremendous ambitions. The spiritual master is so intimately in love with Krishna. His heart feels Krishna's heart, and Krishna's heart, Krishna's full of compassion for the suffering souls of the world. So the spiritual master's heart is always full of compassion. He's not comfortable where people are suffering from material existence. So the spiritual master has huge, ambitious, aggressive plans for conquering major portions of Maya's kingdom, turning it over to Krishna. And he has to be employed in this program, he has to employ an army of disciples. Prabhupada jokingly said, Lord Rama conquered Lanka with monkey warriors, I'm conquering the earth with monkey disciples. Sometimes, he probably had great affection for his disciples, but he would like his disciples to come out to monkey. Not able to be very strict. It's hard for us to always wake up from our lives and always turn around properly and always follow regular principles. To be during Prabhupada's time, some of the words have trouble. So we would laugh at the home of monkeys. problem is very complex. So the basic devotees of the Lord have a problem with two plans. So if you really love each of the devotees, sometimes you baffle the wonderstruck. That's probably unveiled his plan for the 1971 Amdal offering in Mumbai. That's what Radha Maharaj first met Prabhupada. So 20,000 people in line came. Prabhupada unveiled the plan. We must have a giant Amdal. Amdal is like a tent, an official tent. You know, a gathering meeting with a big tent that puts off 20,000 people in. And we have some significant helium, aluminum, and partition of Vietnam. We had huge problems. The problem with the first person was that this is impossible. But the first person used to be an American, but they had to do something wonderful. It's a direct statement of the world, it's not my speculation. Because Westerners, especially Americans, have so much good progress, like material facilities, with intelligence, with wealth. The first thing was the poor. By the way, so the American world is very smart, very intelligent, very resourceful. And it used to be things on a big scale, like the new Republican currency. The Empire State Building in Boston, Scotland, and Manhattan, something, you know, coming from Bengal. You know, it's like huge, it's really impressive thing to see that. The power, the raw material power that Mayans and power these Westerners can do. The problem was shocked. The Shaks, disciples, Johnson, the Malachi, Buddhas, and the Watsu, who started in San Francisco and they started in London, and they made big growth arts, and then went to India about actually these three household scholars who began the service for Prabhupada's mission. So then Prabhupada went to India, along with a couple dozen other American disciples, and they were all saying, Prabhupada, how many people do you know? How can we accept work? He doesn't have any money. What's the use of your being an American if you can't do something wonderful? Or Prabhupada would also say, when his disciples say it's impossible, impossible is a word in the field of the Krishna. Right? Because Krishna can do anything. If you're connected to Krishna, how can that be impossible? What is it? Is there something that Krishna cannot do? So they actually did it. Girdhars, for the Mount Girdhars, he became in charge of the light conscience. They bowed to that donation. He was just a monitor of the Boston. He was looking to Girdhars Mahārāja. And he surrendered the rest of his words. Whatever Prabhupada wanted, he surrendered. He became a power to whoever would come on high. I don't want to expect you to present him, but a figure to a few. I think it's over $100,000. But the movies are much higher than I think the movies are. We can make like fours of movies. Just Americans, and just shortly, a couple years ago, they were hippies. They had no regular lifestyle, no sacrifice, no surrender. That's the last thing we want to do as a young American. You know, enjoy your sense of the sacrifice. What is this? This is a very good word. The problem is that he would be rounded up people who have no interest in serving God, no religious tendencies. Religion and sacrifice were the last things of the world that the hippies wanted to hear about. He got them to do it, he got them to become seriously religious and sacrifice. This is the power of life of Vaishnava Acharya, capability of the world. And we can become power to believe that we're actually ready to sacrifice. You can see some discomfort and masses becoming power because they want to do so much sacrifice for power. And now they're going to be service all over the world. So there's no fundamental barrier to becoming power. It's only your own desire that's going to get there. So thank you very much. Any questions? There's a line of new facts and the really fine. There's an image in this technology. You clear the rest of the day. the distinction between Western epistemology and Vedic epistemology. Western epistemology, everyone is ignorant, fundamentally ignorant, and knowledge is purely what has not come to facts. Like you study physics in university, you study Faraday and Maxwell's equations. You know, you pile on facts and you become familiar, quote unquote, after practicing the thing that I'm facts. Actually, there's a joke. Even the scientists and philosophers are BS. BS stands for something that should not be stated in class. And MS is more of the same, and PhD is quite higher and deeper. Even the scientists themselves say that about their kids, and it's amazing what the real value of the kids are, perhaps. Then if you tell a thing about the equipment, what the actual value of the theories are. So, that's the Western, the common factor, the Vedic, right? You know what I mean? But in Vedic epistemology, it's a really radical concept. The soul has all knowledge. And simply has become impurity in contact with the three humans. So as soon as you strip away the three humans, the material attachments that are covering the soul, then pure knowledge is automatically manifest. The soul is full of knowledge. As he said, it's a picture of him, the verse is quoted. But that's just how, that's the nature of the soul. Such a mind, the soul is full of knowledge. It has the inherent value, just by itself. So the whole program is purification. Of course, when the Americans say that's brainwashing, during the 70s. The economists say, you mean brainwashed. See, they call purification what we are longing for and striving for, the process of purification, regaining glorious colors of the soul. They call that the matter of brainwashing. When Bob heard the term brainwashing, he said, well, if your clothes are dirty, you wash your clothes out. If your brain is dirty, you can wash your brain. He turned it around completely. Probably when he first heard the term brainwashing, he didn't believe it was a derogatory term. Well, of course you believe the brain is dirty, it needs to be washed. It's full of calorie. Your brain is full of the calorie. That's the best thing that can make sense to be inside the brain. Probably wasn't turned off or not busting, but really said, no, we never gone. We're going to keep the brain washed. I said, of course, if you're close to the brain, you can wash your clothes, right? The brain is very good at this thing called counter. Obviously, it's because you're someone in the United States. So you see, it's a radically different style of learning, Western and Eastern, and also in Eastern, or maybe, I should say, maybe. Because in all, you don't want to be an acharya, whatever an acharya is going to teach you by exam. Your personal qualities are required. It's not like you can just pile on back to being a lecture, a sex model. The Amarita song tells a story that you lay off. About one college student, Andrea Kaffer, the young lady, she came to a math professor, and she said, I can't learn at this time. I'm flunking the course, I can't. The girl doesn't do this, I look for math, but she was super attractive. So the math professor said, the girl who looks like you will be an engaged easy in my class. She just comes to my office and we can help you do it. So, they read some things. So, in other words, the personal quality, even if you see a math, it's only extremely important to expect another black hole like Einstein. But his heart is polluted when he sees a beautiful girl on all the things that he's doing. And the girl is an anxiety. How will I can't graduate, you know, as a person? And so the professor said, I don't think the girl who looks like you will let me try to pass the practice. So in Western, you can become a professor, you can pontificate endlessly. And you're in Vedic terms, your heart is unqualified. You can't follow before you pontificate. Your heart is unclean. Whereas a Vedic teacher, his personal qualifications are of paramount importance. No one's allowed to be a spiritual master of acharya and not control the senses and follow the four regular principles.
Did you mention the importance of paying attention to where we operate, into which property, or not too much difficulty in the beginning of this process? And going outside of that zone sometimes to please the spirit of mind to make it into a sacrifice. But there may be a dynamic that we find ourselves in where we have to accept sort of a construction or like a structure that puts us in a difficult situation repeatedly. What's the best dynamic from our side to deal with that so we can more to enhance it, but also take care of our level of
if you find out how eager we are to advance, we're actually really eager to advance and take on difficulties. And you grow spiritually. It seems very difficult at first, it seems maybe even it's impossible to do. Like the world in the summertime, they go to Phoenix, a lot of customers are 110 degrees. And they go to Colorado, 110 degrees, which is not as long as so you fishing and power, if you actually desire, and then the winter is very cold, you know, it's a terrible aspect. If you really want to be a missionary, fishing and power to do amazing things. That's a cold winter, I've heard one of the other countries, but no one. But if you may not be able to, it's a fine line, it's like probably, it's like a razor blade. You have to know how much you can do. Maybe you're only back off, maybe it's too difficult, and you have to talk to your authorities about it. But at least enough of a comfort zone that your mind is not too agitated. It really depends on your eagerness to advance. If you're really, really eager to just do anything, that was the movie I think during the protocol. The only thing that was about actually 1974. Prabhupada came to Los Angeles, he was crying on the mountain side. He said, please, these two people, these people are suffering. Your save your country. It's a classic lecture. It's a distributor. I don't want to address it so much. Where is it? But it's like, please, and Prabhupada was crying, but the devotees saw it. The devotees took a vow on the spot. He said, I'm going to go, but I'm not coming back until I get money. And they stayed up all night. He came back from all the way to the team's green on the first. I did 100 people to the Los Angeles, but believe in those days, you could walk anywhere. There was no hijack in the acceptance. There was no security systems. There was just a grand wild, like wild mountain. And they did it, they stayed up all night, and in the last airport, there was an open room, Hunt's Cockpit House. He was allowed to come to us too. In 48 hours, it took a couple hours to rest. It was like being in some venue somewhere. But in 48 hours, it did 420 some odd books. It's described as certain as 420 books in 48 hours. We just kept going to cloud markets. We cloud markets so much. But there was actually a lot of them. There are many amazing stories. The pinnacle was 1975 Marathon. And by the end of the year, they had distributed more than 6 million books in 1975, including it was like more than 500,000 bottle opens. And just in the month of December alone, the round number of parties were all out 50,000 tickets, bottle opens, in 1 month. And the only 50 distributors, 50,000 tickets. In 1 month, 50 distributors. So they just they went completely all out of the world, completely different acts, whatever they did. And they did 200,000 private dollars in 1 month. It was a ferocious competition between the West Coast, all the West Coast people getting up together. The Rob Dollar was competing. First, Rob Dollar was matched against each individual type of best companies in the world. And they were a team of talent officers and buses. So they managed to go pay out. This is any single company. So They met with them, and the rest of us that are like the old people, they grouped all of us up at San Diego, LA, Virginia Beach, Seattle, and San Francisco, and those were the best of the Western countries. There's a huge, ferocious competition between the way you think. So this, it was just, it puts the whole energy. Everyone was telling about that, it's easy to get them. You're trying to do it wrong. Prabhupada, by his power, he engendered, he inspired, he brought forth bhakti from the heart. As practically speaking, we don't see that. I mean, it's grown up to some extent now, because Prabhupada was so astronomically high in his devotion. So you can make an experiment, practice, you just try to do a little bit of like push yourself a little bit, and if it takes for it, it's about a certain amount of attention more, but it takes more. That's a practical way to do it without interfering with your lifestyle. And if you're in that rare select group of devotees who are eager to get the message, they go on and on and become like far less right. And he stays in that all the way, he just got off us. That he's happy within the man and for 20,000 years a year. So I'll try that same thing. Chulamu Vanu Ki Vaha.